Tonight on Old Time Radio Drama, Gunsmoke from 1958, starring William Conrad as Matt Dillon. Fibber McGee tonight with an outing at the amusement park from 1941. We'll have a case for the Green Hornet from 1939. On stage tonight at about 9:30 with Kathy and Elliot Lewis. We'll also have the Mole Mystery Theater with the Four Fatal Jugglers from 1944. And at about 10:30, we'll open the sealed book for a story called The Ghost Maker from 1945. I'm Norman Gilliland, and we start by riding into Dodge, where an accused horse thief, a very good one, is about to be strung up. The only question is, regarding the crime in question, is he guilty? And either way, why does young Tommy want to help him escape? Our story is called Hot Horse Wyatt, and it features John Daner, as well as William Conrad and the regulars of Gunsmoke, in a broadcast from June 8, 1958.
Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gun smoke. Starring William Conrad, the story of the violence that moved west with young America, and the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely.
What's the matter, Chester?
Well, I just can't figure out how he done it, Mr. Dillon.
How? Who did what?
Well, that fellow with the medicine show over back of the Dodge House.
Oh, that again.
Well, Sam and me had it all figured out. Sam would watch from one side, and I'd watch from the other, and when he'd move them three walnut shells around, we just knew which one the pea was under.
Sure you did.
And by golly, somehow we still lost $6 apiece. I've been fooling with it here, trying to puzzle out how he done it. There ain't nothing to it except three walnut shells and a pea.
And a pretty smart man operating them.
Well, now, me and Sam ain't exactly dummies, you know.
Matt, you better come quick.
What is it, Doc?
Del Bragan and some of his riders. They're up at the livery stable. They got hold of some stranger, and I think they're fixing to hang him.
Huh? Come on, Chester.
They mean business, Mr. Dillon. Look at that rope.
Yeah. What did they do, Doc, to get Bragan all riled up?
Well, I didn't wait to find out, man.
Well, it don't take much to get Del Bragan riled up.
That's for sure.
Sure.
Hey, Bragan.
Who's that?
What's going on here, Bragan?
This ain't nothing the law need bother about, Marshal.
No? Uh-huh.
We caught this here saddle bum dead to rights. There ain't no use wasting time on a trial.
I see. It looks to me like you've already pushed him around some. Is he conscious?
He will be before we string him up. I want him to know just why we're doing it.
Doc, take a look at him, will you?
Sure, Matt. Just stand back there, please. Let me have room.
Now, Bragan, suppose you tell me why you're about to lynch the man.
It ain't none of your concern, Marshal. You go on about your business and take Doc with you. There ain't no use patching up a fellow that's going to be dead in 10 minutes anyhow.
Hasn't anybody told you we got laws in Dodge City now?
Laws for them that needs it. This ain't the first horse thief I've hung.
Those days are over, Bragan. And so's the hanging, boys. You come on down out of that loft and you bring the rope with you.
Marshal, we caught this man with two of my best horses. Blooded stock. It's been missing off the ranch since last month.
If he's stolen, the law will deal with it.
No, Marshal. We'll deal with him.
Bregan, you keep your hand away from that gun.
I will. When you get out of here and leave us be.
You will right now. Here, Chester, get Reagan's gun.
Yes, sir. Here it is.
How's the fellow, Doc?
Yeah, he's been beat up some, kicked around a little, but he'll be all right.
Then let's get him over to the jail.
Say, give me a hand here, will you, Chester?
Sure, Doc.
All right, you men drag Reagan over there to the horse trough and you stick his head in it. Tell him he can pick up his gun at the jail as soon as he cools off. And another thing. The next time any one of you brings a rope into town, you keep it tied to your saddle. Do you understand?
The shoveling started at the little town of Rome in New York State back in 1817. And on July 4th, 1967, the post office released a special sesquicentennial stamp there in honor of the big ditch they dug, which, it says on the stamp in my album here, was the Erie Canal. Now, in case you don't know, that canal went all the way from Buffalo on Lake Erie to the Hudson River, connecting the Great Lakes with the Atlantic Ocean. The biggest waterway ever built in the United States at the time, and it was done mostly by the Irish just over from the old country, who did their digging with spit and muscle. Yep. Made lots of money for years on tolls, and the traffic and freight and people through the canal was mainly responsible for building up the Midwest and keeping business in the East busy doing it. Well, of course, the Erie Canal ain't what she used to be, because the railroads do most of the job now. But the big ditch is still there, and so is all the history that went through it.
You the marshal?
Yeah, that's right.
I'm Jesse Hyatt. How'd I get here, Marshal?
We carried you here, Jesse. How do you feel?
Oh, Marshal, I couldn't feel no sorer if they drove a herd of longhorns over me.
Well, it could have been worse, you know. They were fixing to hang you.
You know something, Marshal? Dodge City ain't the friendliest town in the world when you come right down to it.
Not for horse thieves, anyway.
I didn't steal them horses. I tried to tell them that, but they wouldn't listen, especially that red-faced, mouthy fella.
Now, that's Del Bregan. They're his horses.
I hit town. Left the horses there at the livery stable while I went up the street to eat. When I come back, they all jumped me.
You did have his horses, though.
Well, who says they're his?
Well, I do, for one. I went over and took a look at them. They disappeared off his ranch about a month ago.
Well, I don't know nothing about that. All I know is that I bought them, fair and honest.
Where?
From a horse dealer in Wichita about 2 weeks ago.
Huh? What was his name?
I don't know. I think he was just traveling through. He offered me a bargain, so I bought him. I was coming on west, and I needed a pair of good horses.
You remember what he looked like?
Oh, well, no, not too good. Fast-talking fellow, black whiskers. Dressed like most anybody else. I ain't even sure I'd know him if I was to meet him again.
I see.
Well, I didn't pay him no special mind. There were no reason to. Marshal, I bought them horses, no matter what anybody says.
That's going to be kind of hard to prove, isn't it, Jesse?
Not if you find that traitor I bought them from.
Where would you look for him?
I don't know.
You see, that's what I mean.
Are they going to have a trial on me?
Yeah, Bregan's filed charges.
What do you think will happen?
Well, kind of hard to say how a jury will figure.
I ain't got a chance, have I, Marshal?
Oh, there's always a chance. At least you're not swinging on a rope. But tell me, what are you doing in Dodge in the first place?
just passing through. I got an aunt who lives alone upriver. She wrote she needed help running the place.
I'm sorry to bother you, Mr. Dillon, but there's somebody out there to see you.
Oh, all right, Chester. Jesse, if you can think of anything else that might help, you let me know, huh?
There ain't nothing, Marshal. I'm a goner. We both know it.
I think you're kind of rushing things, Jesse. All right, come on, Chester.
Yes, sir. Mr. Dillon, it's that young and Adele Bragan.
Oh, you mean Tommy?
Yes, sir.
Ah, hello, Tommy. How have you been?
Oh, fine, Marshal. Could I see that fella, please?
What? What fella?
The one that Pa tried to hang this morning. That one he treated mean. Like he treats everybody mean.
Why, your Pa thinks he's doing right,
Tommy. It ain't right to be like he is. I know it ain't right. And someday the devil's gonna get him.
Now, Tommy, that...
Could I see that fella, Marshal, please? I want to tell him I'm sorry.
All right, Tommy. You go on back through that door there. He's in the last cell.
Oh, thanks, Marshal.
You reckon that Jesse fella is guilty, Mr. Dillon?
I don't know, Chester. But I do know one thing. The jury's gonna think so.
Del Bragan's telling?
Well, I don't know, Kitty. What story is he telling?
About how he's going to take some fella out of jail and hang him if the law doesn't get a move on. And how he'd have done it this morning, only you hit him when he wasn't looking.
Well, he's got more imagination than I gave him credit for.
Well, he's sure been mouthing off over there at the bar. To anybody who'll listen. I thought you'd want to know about it in case. Uh-oh. Here he comes, Matt.
Yeah.
You know, I've never seen that man when he wasn't mad about something.
Yeah, what have you done about that horse thief, Marshal?
Not a thing, Bragan. That's up to Judge Bent.
What are you aiming to do with a man? Keep on coddling him till old Bent gets up the gumption to hang him?
Well, I'm going to feed him and keep him locked up, if that's what you call coddling. And for the rest of it, stealing horses is not a hanging offense under the law.
It is under the law I go by.
How long is it going to take you, Del?
Take me to what?
To get it through that thick head of yours that the old days are finished, over with. There's law on the frontier now.
Things work better without it.
Maybe for a bully like you. But like it or not, the law's here to stay, and you better understand it. For your boy's sake, if not for your own.
What about my boy?
He's going to have to live in a different world from yours, and the hard-headed way you act isn't much of an example for him.
Tommy will do all right. Don't you worry. He knows what he'll get if he don't. He said the fear of the Lord beat into him.
And with less beating and more understanding, he might not hate you so much.
Hate me? He don't hate me. He respects me.
Respects? Now, well, you call it that if you want. But I wouldn't want to be in your shoes the day he reaches your size.
You trying to tell me how to raise my own son?
No. But I am telling you this. You leave my prisoner alone.
Marshal, you whipped me with your fists this morning. And if it come to it, maybe you could outdraw me. You keep on acting hard-nosed. Might be we'll find out for sure.
Oh, Mr. Dillon.
Now, things been quiet, Chester?
Yeah, nary a soul's come near. You'd think this jailhouse had been quarantined for the pox or something.
Well, you're lucky. It's given you more time to study that shell game, hasn't it?
Sure ain't done no good. I've been at it all evening, and I still can't figure out how that fella's gun is.
You want to take a few more dollars and go try to find out, huh?
No, sirree. I ain't going near that medicine show ever again.
Not till payday, anyway. How's the prisoner?
I'm just sleeping, I reckon. I ain't been back.
Maybe I better go take a look.
No, it's all right. I'll go. Tell you what, why don't you set up the cribbage board and I'll show you another game you can't figure out.
Oh, no. Cribbage is something I do know about.
Yeah.
Just don't move, Marshal.
Where'd you get the gun, Jesse?
Don't make no difference where. You move easy now, Marshal. I'll blow a hole right through you.
What good would it do you? You'd still be locked up.
Not for long, I won't. Because you're going to let me out.
Don't lay money on it.
Open that cell door, Marshal, right now.
Don't be a fool, Jesse. The worst you'll get now is a prison sentence. You pull that trigger and you'll hang.
I ain't going to prison for something I didn't do. You open that door and hurry up about it.
Now give me the gun, Jesse. You're not going to shoot and we both know it. Now come on, hand it over.
I'm warning you. I will shoot.
You'll still be locked inside the cell. If you did shoot me, you wouldn't be ahead of me. Now, let's have the gun. Come on.
Here. Take it. It ain't got no loads in it. I took them out so there wouldn't be no accident.
Where'd you get it, Jesse?
That kid brung it in this afternoon. He had it under his shirt.
Huh? You mean Tommy Bragan?
I don't know his name. He said he was sorry for me. And he said he'd come back in the morning about sunup and try to sneak the key out of the office. Real nice kid.
Tommy Bragan.
I can't figure why he'd go to all that trouble. Not even knowing me.
No, I can't either, Jesse. But I'll ask him when he comes back in the morning.
Towns in America have a lot in common, and yet they're each one of a kind. Take, for example, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. The Smoky City is smoking less now and enjoying it more. Mostly because Pittsburghers decided a decade or so ago that enough was enough. Now their smoke and polluted air problem is virtually non-existent. Over in Shadyside, you can catch the pit crowd at the Encore. Or the party may have moved across the street and down on the corner to Fox's. On Grant and 7th, the lighted dome of the Coppers building signals the weather. And at Gateway Center, the Monongahela and the Allegheny form the Ohio at the Golden Triangle. Pittsburgh's people meet under the clock at Kaufman's on Smithfield, or lunch at Lamont in Mount Washington. Meanwhile, the Pirates play at Forbes Field. The teens are at McKeesport's White Elephant. Office workers drift in Mellon Square. And the animals nap at Highland Park Zoo. But if your hometown is Pittsburgh, you already know this. We only wanted to remind you, it's still there.
Riding that pinto pony here.
Yeah, I see him.
Looks like Jesse was telling the truth.
He may have been all along, Chester.
Yeah, but my goodness, oh, a young puppy like Tommy Bragan sneaking guns into jail, trying to help prisoners break out, like he ought to be switched good.
Maybe he's been switched too much already.
Okay. Walking tiptoe, moving real quiet. I guess he thinks we ain't up yet.
Then we mustn't disappoint him. You get back to your bunk and lie down, huh?
Yes, sir. Darn fool kid, he's as bad as his paw.
Shh, be quiet. Surprise him, Chester.
Right.
Morning, Tommy.
Oh, Marshal. I thought you was...
I guess Jesse was the only one who was really asleep, huh?
Hey, what's going on here? What are you doing here, Tommy?
He was letting you out, Jesse.
I had to. It ain't right him being in there.
You gave him a gun yesterday, Tommy. Did you want him to kill me with it? I thought we were friends.
No, it wasn't to kill you with. My pa's always beating me, yelling at me. I wanted to get even with him.
Get even with him? How?
By giving them two horses away.
You gave your pa's horses away?
I wanted to get even with him for being so mean all the time.
Well, who'd you give them to, Tommy?
Oh, some fella riding through. He had black whiskers and...
Hey,
he said he was heading east.
That's the man, Marshal. That's who I bought them off of.
Yeah. All right, come on out, Jesse, and let's go into the office. Well, I guess that clears up whether you're guilty or not.
You mean I'm free to go?
Yeah, you sure are.
Marshal, what are you going to do to me?
Now, what do you mean, Tommy?
For sneaking in here trying to let Jesse out and all.
Well, I don't know.
Well, don't matter. Paul, kill me sure now.
Marshal.
What?
I got an idea. Remember I told you how I was headed for my aunt's place upriver? How she's alone, needs help to run things?
Uh-huh.
Well, she's a good woman, Marshal. Real good woman. Maybe Tommy could stay there until his paw cools off.
Tommy.
Yeah?
How'd you like to go with Jesse up to his aunt's place for a little while, huh?
Could I?
In the meantime, I could talk to your paw. But I won't tell him where you are just yet.
Yeah, but, Mr. Dillon, when Reagan finds out where Tommy is, he'll come after him with a whole handful of switches.
No, I don't think so, Chester. Tommy, maybe this will give your pa a chance to think things over. And you know something? He might even learn the difference between fear and respect. All right, now you two get going.
With your permission, I'd like to quote an excerpt from a speech by that old political character, Elijah Cuddlestone. And I say, we've state and declare, that is, that pork barrel appropriations are not going to be our salvation. We must, I say, we have to get up on our hind legs. I mean, you stand up and fight for our own improvements. The pork barrel is for loafers. I mean, the greedy and the weak, that is.
That term, pork barrel... You know what it means? Well, pork is fat, and fat for hundreds of years has meant plenty, abundance. Ye shall eat the fat of the land. About 100 years ago, in the halls of Congress, fat, meaning lucrative or rewarding, became pork. And about 50 years ago, when congressmen sought larger appropriations for such things as bridges, harbor or river improvements, public buildings, and so forth, to impress their constituents, they were accused of seeking pork barrel appropriations.
Gunsmoke, produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Featured in the cast were Parley Bear as Chester, Howard McNear as Doc, and Georgia Ellis as Kitty. George Walsh speaking. Join us again next week for another specially transcribed story on Gunsmoke. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
John Daner as Hot Horse Wyatt in Gunsmoke from June 8th, 1958. A story about an overbearing father more than it is about stealing horses. Next, it's Fibber McGee and Molly as old-time radio drama continues here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Tonight, we have an urgent, though unheeded, message for Fibber McGee. Wisconsin Public Radio. Tonight, we have an urgent, though unheeded, message for Fibber McGee. And an appearance from Gildersleeve, plugging Fibber's write-up in Look magazine. Didn't get any better than that in 1941. And also a visit to the amusement park with Sis, plus a celebration of a 10,000th broadcast. This is Fibber McGee and Molly with an outing at the amusement park from June 17th, 1941.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly. Makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat present Fibber McGee and Molly, written by Don Quinn, with music by the King's Men and Billy Mills Orchestra. Fibber and Molly dedicate this program to Billy Mills, who tonight opens his 10,000th broadcast with Let's Break the Ice. It's a strange thing to me how long it has taken most of us to realize the beauty of a fine wood surface. It isn't very long ago since it was the style to have tablecloths or runners and doilies all over the dining room table and the buffet, pieces of brocade or needlepoint or old shawls over the desk and occasional tables and piano. I may have the names all wrong, but you know what I mean. The whole room seemed cluttered up, and beautiful wood surfaces hung their heads in shame. But how refreshing it is now to walk into a home where the tabletops are richly polished, with Johnson's Wax, of course, to make beautiful settings for old china, glass, candlesticks, and flowers. You women know that these accessories add just as much to the finish of your home as costume accessories to your own appearance. Look around your living room and dining room and see if you've made the most of your tabletops and other wood surfaces. The first thing to do is to protect and beautify them with paste or liquid Johnson's Wax. The same wax that has been protecting floors and making housework easier for over 50 years. Is there a man with soul so dead who never to himself hath said, "Gee, I'd like to ride on a roller coaster"? But roller coasters aren't much fun unless you have a child along to knock you off your dignity. Which is why, halfway through a strenuous afternoon at the Wistful Vista Amusement Park, we meet the little girl from across the street with Fibber McGee and Molly.
How are we doing, sis? You having fun?
Sure I am, I betcha. Except I'm kind of hungry again.
Hungry? Okay, sis. It's my bankroll against your digestion, I guess. Here's a dime. Go buy some popcorn.
Gee, thanks, mister. Hey, Mr. Popcorn Man.
That kid is going to paper napkin herself into a stupor before the day's over, Molly.
Well, she needs a lot of fuel for all that energy. How many times did she make you ride on the roller coaster?
12. Personally, I was ready to quit after the fourth time around.
Well, why didn't you?
I couldn't stand up. If she hadn't wanted a hamburger, we'd have been on there yet. Oh, all right, sis, you get your popcorn?
Sure.
Okay, well, what do you want to do now?
Eat my popcorn.
Oh.
Well, what do you want to do when you finish that?
Have some root beer.
Hey, now, wait a minute, sis. Goodness knows I don't begrudge you a slug of tomaine, but you're building this little outing into a colic frolic. Now, let the root beer go a little later.
All righty. Then let's have some ginger ale. Now.
Oh, sure. She's got an appetite like Aunt Sarah and a thirst like Uncle Dennis.
Oh, now, McGee, leave poor old Uncle Dennis alone. I'm only sorry he couldn't come with us today.
No, I asked him to, and he says he had to go down to the airplane factory.
The airplane factory?
Yeah, and he heard there was a bottleneck down there, and he wanted to look into it. Well, for the love of Mike, you finished that popcorn already, sis?
Sure I have, I betcha. But, gee, I wish I had something to wash it down with, though.
Oh, well, what would you suggest?
How about a banana?
No.
Say, let's have our pictures taken, shall we?
Say, how about that, Molly? We need some pictures, remember?
Well, I don't think we want any out of a 10-cent automatic machine. The last ones I had taken in one of those, I looked like a Zulu princess trying to understand the Hutsut song.
No, that ain't so far-fetched. I think some Zulu wrote it. Well, come on, sis. Posterity might as well get something out of this.
Gee, you're dandy to me, mister. You just do everything I want to do.
Yeah. Well, you remember that when the girl in the white cap bends over you with the castor oil, will you? Well, come on, Molly.
Can we all get into the booth at once?
Sure, we'll have a group picture taken. You can give one to your mother, sis, and show her what a good time you were having.
She'd think I was having a better time if I had a lollipop in my hand, I betcha.
You can get that later. Now, come on in. Pull the curtains, Molly.
All right.
There.
Now, you put a dime in that slot and turn the knob, dearie.
Okay, now all hunch up together first. You ready? Okay, here goes the deemer.
For a minute there, I thought you hit the jackpot. Well, what do we do now?
Just wait. The picture's being automatically developed. Wonderful machines, these.
My daddy's got a machine that you stand in front of, and it takes your picture free.
He has? Mm-hmm. What does he call it?
A camera.
Oh, cut it out, sis. You must think I'm done. Hey, what's the matter with this thing? Hey, where's our picture? Hey, there.
Oh, now, McGee.
Oh, well, let's get him out. Come on.
Oh, come on, dearie. It's worth a dime to me not to see it anyway.
No, sir. I ain't going to be swindled out of a dime by any tin-horn, tin-type tin can like this. If I can't either get my dime or a picture out of here, I'm going to kick the negatives out of it. Come on.
Now,
open up there.
A man fell out of it.
Oh. Say, what's the idea of busting open this tin-type machine like that, Sonny? Don't you realize... Ooh, hello, Johnny. Hello, daughter.
Hey, what is this anyway? What are you doing inside that machine, old-timer?
Got a right to be inside of it, Johnny. I own it.
Well, I thought it was supposed to be automatic.
Well, it is, daughter. But it went out of order this morning, and I've been in there ever since.
What?
I grab the dime, snap your picture with my little Kodak, develop them quick, and shove them out through the slot. And now you've busted up the whole works. Ain't you ashamed, Johnny?
Yeah, I guess I am, in a way. But what took you so long to develop our pictures?
I couldn't help it, Johnny. I peeked through the little slot there to get a focus on you.
Yeah?
You look so silly and self-conscious. I got to laughing. I got to laughing so hard. I couldn't do a darn thing.
Come on, Molly. Come on, sis. Well, let's see. What do we do now? Ride on the merry-go-round? Shoot darts at the balloons?
I beg your pardon, sir. May I have a word with you?
What you want, bud? Make it snappy.
I have a proposition I'd like to make, sir. If I could have a quiet word with you, I think...
Anything you want to tell me, bud, you can say in front of my wife.
Oh, of course. This will interest her, too. Suppose we all drop over to my hotel where we can discuss the matter in...
No, you don't. Don't listen to him, McGee. He's going to get you in a poker game or something.
Oh, madam, please. It's nothing of the sort. I merely want...
Skip it, bud. Skip it. I wouldn't be interested anyway. Now, don't bother me with any fake propositions. I'm out for some fun today, and I don't...
But if you'll just give me a minute...
I wouldn't split a second with you, sharpshooter. Now, go on, beat it before I call a cop.
Very well. But you'll regret...
The nerve of some people.
What do you know? Well, what do we do now?
Well, how about taking one of those boats through the Tunnel of Love?
Through the Tunnel of Love? Well, how about it, sis?
Tunnel of Love. Ish.
No. Don't sneer at love, sis.
No, sir, I should say not. You'll be falling in love yourself before many years, little girl.
Mm-hmm.
I will not, I bet you. I'm going to marry Willie Toops, and then I can ride his tricycle whenever I want to.
Has it occurred to you, sis, that by the time you get married, you might not be interested in tricycles anymore?
Gee, mister, you worry too much. Hey, can I have some peanuts?
May I have some peanuts?
Sure, get two bags, one for you.
Oh, sure. Shucks, was nothing any red-blooded American boy couldn't have done.
Yes,
thanks anyway,
it didn't cost you more than $4.80 to win a plaster doll worth at least 20 cents.
Well, shucks, the wind was against me.
McGee, there's Billy Mills. Hello, Billy.
Oh, hi, William. Hello, folks. Hello, Snooky.
Hi, Butch.
What's cooking?
I don't know, but as soon as it's done, I want some, I betcha.
She's kind of a politician, Billy. Just appointed herself a hot dog catcher. Wow. Hey, what's this about your 10,000th broadcast, Billy?
This is it, chum.
Really, Mr. Mills? 10,000 broadcasts. That's a mess of downbeats, isn't it?
You ain't faking, Mammy.
Look, William Randolph, let's not kid the public, or ourselves either. To do 10,000 broadcasts, do you realize you'd have to broadcast once every day for 27 years?
Sure, and we've only had broadcasting for about, less than 20 years.
Yeah, so who's pulling whose leg?
Look, little man. Who said anything about one broadcast a day? I've been a staff leader and musical director in my day.
Oh, you mean before you went slumming and came with us, huh?
Yeah, and that meant I did as many as 12 shows a day. Add that up and you get about $4,000 a year.
You mean to stand there, William, with your head coming up through your hair? And tell us you've done 12 broadcasts a day?
Junior? I've seen the time when 12 shows a day would have been considered a layoff. Now, excuse me, please. I'm celebrating.
Gee, let's all celebrate. Let's all have a hot dog. Shall we?
No, sis, no. We'll let the maestro celebrate in his own way.
Incidentally, how are you celebrating, Mr. Mills?
Well, after 16 years of this business and 3 years with Thurber, McGee, and Molly, where would I celebrate? On the merry-go-round. See you later.
No joke about this 10,000 broadcast. Now, there's a great guy, Billy. Well, now what, sis?
Well, you've been so good to me today, mister, buying me things and letting me ride on any of the rides I wanted to and all. And I appreciate it so much that if I had a box of Cracker Jack, I divide with you.
Now, just a minute, sis. I don't like to be an old sourpuss.
All right, all right, all right. Right this way, ladies and gentlemen, to see that ferocious foreigner, that terrific terror of the tropics, the wild man of Borneo. Mm. Only at 9 cents, ladies and gentlemen, to see the man-mangling monster.
Oh, McGee, it's Mr. Wilcox.
When did he get a job as a barker?
As a what?
A barker.
I want a hot dog.
Be quiet, sis. Hey, Harlow!
Well, hello there, folks. Glad to see you. How about taking a gander at the wild man of Borneo? It's on the house.
Is he really wild, Mr. Wilcox?
Is he? Listen. Hey, Bonzo, we got company.
Why does he make that funny noise, Mr. Wilcox?
He's hungry.
He's hungry?
Come on, let's go in and take a look. Take it easy.
Now, take it easy, folks. Don't get too close to the wild man. Get back, Bonzo. Get back.
What made him so wild, Mr. Wilcox?
Well, he was captured by a ship's captain who had old-fashioned ideas and positively refused to use Johnson's self-polishing glow coat on the linoleum. You see? The very mention of somebody who doesn't use Johnson's glow coat sends him into a frenzy. Take it easy, Bonzo. Take it easy. These people work for the makers of glow coat.
Harlow, I ain't one to spoil a good sales talk, but if this monkey was born in Borneo, how should he know about glow coat?
Why, what a question. Johnson's self-polishing glow coat is famous all over the world because it's the greatest beautifier and protector of linoleum and the best work saver and time saver that money can buy. Why, the Eskimos of Kamchatka whisper in their igloos about how easy it is to apply. And the Malays in Siberia brag about how it brings old linoleum back to life.
I'll bet you there aren't any Malays in Siberia, I bet you.
Ah, but they would go there, honey, for a can of Johnson's self-polishing glow coat. And that's what makes the wild man of Borneo wild, folks. He can't stand the thought of neglected linoleum. And that concludes the exhibit for...
Just a minute, Harlow. There's one thing I think you ought to know.
What's that, Fibber?
If there's anything that makes me wild, it's to see a wild man of Borneo with a fur suit on with the zipper coming loose in the back.
Darn it, I keep telling him about that. Bonzo, you dope, go fix your zipper.
Okay.
Well, come on, McGee. We still have a lot to do and see. Goodbye, Mr. Wilcox.
Hey, Mr. McGee, can I go on the roller coaster alone? Can I,
Can we let her go on the roller coaster alone, Molly?
Oh, I think so. They'll have an attendant ride on it with her.
Okay then, sis. Here's 4 bits. We'll meet you right here when you come back.
Gee, thanks, mister. I'm going on the roller coaster. I beg your pardon, sir.
I do hate to intrude on you again, but I feel that what I have to say is of so much importance.
It's you again, is it, Si?
He's been following us all around the park, McGee. I've been watching him.
But, madam, if you'll only permit me to explain, I'm sure that we can...
You only got one thing to explain, Bud. And that's why I don't pop you one right on your schnozola.
No. I'm sure there's no cause for all your antagonism.
What you mean, antagonism? I can see just as good as you can.
No. Hard feelings. Now, look, the reason I wish to speak to you is this.
Look, Bud, you better scram. I don't want any part of your racket. Is that plain?
But if you'll allow me,
You heard my husband. Now go away.
Very well, madam.
He's a persistent cuss, ain't he? Probably a con man. Probably wanted to sell me a half interest in Fort Knox.
You think he did, really? Let's call him back. Half interest in Fort Knox ought to be a very good investment.
Oh, now, Molly, I know. Oh.
What's the matter?
Look, there's Mrs. Uppington coming out of the tunnel of love. Alone.
Heavenly days. What an... Yoo-hoo, Abigail.
Oh, how do you do, Mrs. McGee and Mr. McGee?
Hi, Uppy. We saw you coming out of the tunnel of love.
Yes, I frequently come over and take a ride through the tunnel of love. It brings back memories of an old flame of mine.
It's pretty damp surroundings for an old flame.
Yes, I suppose I'm just being a silly girl, but Terence was the gentleman's name.
Terence
simply loved those dark winding passages, the murmur of the water, the unexpected turns and twists.
Was he a sailor, Uppy?
No, nothing like that. Terence, bless his heart, was a sewer contractor. Ah, well, I think I shall take one more ride before I go home. Goodbye.
Ladies and gentlemen, in honor of his 10,000th broadcast, the King's Men will sing Billy Mills' new number, I'm in Love with the Sound Effects Man.
Oh, what would we do without the sound effects man, that radio racketeer?
Tune your dial and listen a while.
This is what you'll hear. There's a knock upon the door. That's the sound effects man. Here's a kiss and maybe more.
That's the sound effects man.
If you'd like a ring, he'll give you a ding, ding, ding. And even in the early morn, you'll hear him blowing his horn. Cowboys galloping fit to bust.
That's the sound effects man.
Three more redskins bite the dust.
That's the sound effects man.
He has such an awful lot to do, and yet he very seldom ever misses a cue. He's a three-alarm fire and a fire chief, too. There goes the sound effects man when the wind is howling.
That's the sound effects man.
Thunder goes a-growling.
That's the sound effects man.
When the battle is raging, he's right in the middle of the fray. When he blows his whistle, crime doesn't pay. Benny's old Maxwell chugging right along. That's the sound effects man. When Kate Kaiser gets the answer all wrong.
Students! That's the sound effects man.
Hear those footsteps making a lot of muddy tracks. Dirty boots will never hurt the kitchen floor if it's covered with Johnson's wax. Tailspin Tommy in his aeroplane. That's the sound effects man. When McGee breaks a window pane. That's the sound effects man. He has gadgets by the score. From a peanut whistle to a cannon's roar. When Fibber runs to open that closet door. Look out!
Gotta straighten out that closet one of these days.
That's Virgil Reimer, the sound effects man.
But McGee, we simply got to find her. Did you ask the man in charge of the roller coaster?
4 times. She used up all her tickets and walked away. Oh. I've been all around the Dad Ratted Park looking for her.
Oh, maybe we better notify the police or the lost and found or something.
Do something. Poor little tyke must be terrified, lost in all this big crowd.
Oh, dear. We should never have let her go out of our sight. I'm the one.
Well, what's all the trouble, folks?
Hello, Mr. Gildersleeve.
We lost a little girl, Gildy, the kid from across the street. What? She was riding on the roller coaster, and now we can't find her.
You let her ride on the roller coaster all alone?
Well, they have attendants to take care of the children.
Yeah, she was all right.
Is that so? All right, eh? She's missing, isn't she?
Well.
Why didn't you stay where you could keep an eye on her? You're a fine one to be trusted with a little child.
Now, you cut that out, Gildersleeve. I feel bad enough about this without having any nasty insinuations from you.
I should say so. Listen, I'll go back to the merry-go-round, McGee, and I'll take another look for her.
Okay, try all the hamburger stands, too. She may be mooching a handout.
I must say you take this pretty lightly, McGee. By George, if I were responsible for losing a little child...
Anybody that lost you when you were a little child should ought to get a Carnegie medal. You big blowhard.
Oh! Now, look here, McGee. Just because you were written up in Look magazine this week, you can't take that tone with me. I'll have none of your impudence.
Go on, have some. I got plenty.
Why, you little bug brain. I've got a good notion to slap some of that freshness out of you.
Go ahead, try it. You'll find it ain't such a good notion after all. Because you know what I'd do, Gildersleeve?
No, what would you do?
Well, for one thing, I'd stand right here and give you a dirty look. If you didn't have one already. And then when I got...
I won't take that from you, McGee. I'm warning you.
Oh, so now he thinks he's one of the Warner Brothers. You got delusions of grandeur, Gildersleeve.
That's enough. I'm going to split you wide open, McGee. You're so full of cracks now, you won't mind another one anyway.
Yeah, you move an
inch my way, Gildersleeve.
Why,
I'll... Slug him, Mr. McGee. Slug him.
You bet I'll slug him. I'll say... Hey, who said that?
I did, I bet
you. Oh, my goodness. There she is now, little chum.
Hey, where you been, sis? You had us all worried.
See, you had me worried, too, mister. I thought Mr. Gildersleeve was going to hit you before you hit him.
That's an excellent idea. Now, don't you worry your pretty little head about us, my dear.
Nah, we were just kind of upset about you, sis.
Why, certainly. Well, glad you got her back all right, little chum. I'll see you later.
Okay, Gildy. So long, pal. Hey, Molly, here she is.
Oh, thank goodness. Say, where did you go to, little girl?
Where have you been?
Well, you gave me 50 cents for the roller coaster, so I took four rides, and then I went and got another hot dog.
Another hot dog? Hey, now, wait a minute, sis. If you don't quit eating all that junk,
Beg your pardon, sir.
Oh, dear, it's you again. Call a cop, dearie.
Look, bud, I've told you twice that I don't want any of whatever you're selling. All we want from you is a large slice of your absence. Now, beat it before I...
I regret very much having made a nuisance of myself, sir, but I've been watching you two. I've seen you having fun on the roller coaster. I've seen you exasperated in the photograph booth, worried and frantic when the child was lost, angry when you were arguing with that portly man. In short, sir, I've seen you under all sorts of emotional conditions.
Well, that's very interesting, but
we
now...
We have been searching all over the country for a couple whom we could present in pictures as Mr. and Mrs. America.
Yeah, well, that's all... You mean... Who's been searching? Who are you?
I represent RKO Radio Pictures, sir. And we would like to sign you to a contract to make a motion picture with Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy called Look Who's Laughing.
Well, heavenly days.
Oh, boy.
Imagine.
Oh, can you imagine that, Molly? Why, we'll be in the movies.
Sure.
Think of us out there in Hollywood, Molly.
Oh, my.
Mixing with Irene Dunne, Cary Grant, Lucille Ball, and all the stars playing them big roles.
Those big what, mister?
Big roles.
I'm hungry.
Molly will be back in just a moment. You know, I hear a good many women say that during the summer they don't like to spend any more time than necessary in the kitchen. In spite of the fact that I really enjoy my meals, I can subscribe to that idea. In fact, I don't think a woman should ever spend more time than necessary working in the kitchen. For example, she ought to avail herself of all the shortcuts possible, not go on doing things the hard way when an easy way is available. Yes, I'm getting around to floors and to Johnson's self-polishing glow coat, the no-rubbing, no-buffing polish that makes it so easy to have beautiful, sparkling floors with practically no work. You simply apply glow coat and let it dry. It polishes itself and not only saves you work, but saves your linoleum, too. Protects it against scratches and wear. Makes it last much longer. You can use Johnson's glow coat on all your floors, painted and varnished wood, rubber and asphalt tile. Be sure to add Johnson's self-polishing glow coat to your next shopping list.
Ladies and gentlemen, in addition to Billy Mills and his orchestra, the musical portion of our program also boasts of the King's Men. We think they're just about the finest singing aggregation on the air. They are John Dodson, Bud Lynn, Rad Robinson, and Ken Darby.
Yes, and Ken also makes their arrangements and plays the accompaniment.
The King's Men, ladies and gentlemen. The part of Harlow Wilcox on this show is played by a young man who really makes his commercial announcements a pleasure to listen to. He's been with us for 7 years, and his real name is Harlow Wilcox. Harlow? Good night.
Good night, all.
This is Harlow Wilcox speaking for the makers of Johnson's Wax Finishes for the home and for industry, inviting you to be with us again next Tuesday night. Good night.
Before you start off on another weekend trip in your car, let me make a suggestion. You and your family and friends will enjoy the trip more if your car is beautifully wax polished, and the car will be easier to keep clean and shining, too. So buy yourself a can of Johnson's Car New, the sensational, easy-to-use auto polish that both cleans and wax polishes your car in one application. Two jobs in one in less than half the time they used to take. Car New is saving hours of work for car owners everywhere. It's easy now to have a beautiful wax polished car. Remember the name, Johnson's Car New, spelled C-A-R-N-U. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Wow, you really can rack up 10,000 broadcasts in not that many years. That was one thing celebrated tonight, other than the humor of the American situation in general, as it was June 17, 1941, during that outing with Fibber McGee and Company. We have a case for the Green Hornet right after this. You're listening to Old Time Radio Drama on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.